Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, plus the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page and the ESPN YouTube feed, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get to your podcasts. We are on to week three. Field Yates, Matthew Barry, Stephon Bell, and Daniel Dapp here.
Thank God we're on to week three.
Why do you say that?
You know what? I want to say it. Like, I like to give you a hard time, like to poke you a little bit, like to have some fun with you, you know.
And I like to do the same.
Indeed, you do. Congratulations to you. Mason Crosby did not come up with 10 points last night. He only came up with 5.
Yeah.
Daniel's crappy Detroit Lions. I called it. Could not get a stop except when the Packers were on their own side of the field.
Like, I said they were going to be too efficient, Matthew.
I thought they could get at least one or two field goals. It is what it is. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, anyway, whatever. I came up 4 points short. I lost to Field Yates in the War Room League by 4 points. Despite having what I believe to be one of the better teams in that league.
Well, this is a long
season. 0-2. I'm 0-2 in that league, despite having
season.
You had a high score against me in week one. Mina Kimes had a high score against me in week number one. And of course, Ryan Fitzpatrick was my quarterback, and he got injured in that game, and I lost to Mina by like 6 points or something like that.
Boy, what
long
are you
season.
Do?
Daniel, long season. Here's what I take away from this, however. Just, and I'm going to give this, and I think this is good advice for anyone that is 0-2 in a particular league.
Right? Wine.
Huh?
I was thinking like drinking. Like,
no.
Good advice if you're 0-2.
Wine? Like, I get it. Yeah, that was good.
So this 16-team league, last year, I led wire to wire. I was the number one, and going into the playoffs, I was the number one seed. I had the highest points in the league. Okay? Lost in the first round. Cam Akers. I had the second highest score in the first week of the playoffs, but lost because the guy I played. The eighth seed, the person who ultimately ended up winning the War Room League last year.
You're saying a lot of words for the team that scored more points than you. I'm just trying to figure out what the score is.
Hang on.
Okay,
all right. The team that won the league last year started 1-3, snuck into the playoffs as the eighth seed on a tiebreaker, and ultimately ended up winning the league.
Yeah.
So it's a long season, and that if you were 0-2, make no mistake, you don't have a lot of room for error. I need to win this week. 0-3 is not great. But like, if you can get to 2-2, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're fine.
Sure
so can. it's not time to panic just yet. It's not time to bail on your team. It's not time to blow everything up. It's not time to bail on this podcast any more than you normally would.
We're going to recap Monday Night Football. We're also going to talk about injury updates. Did you want to get?
I just want to say really quickly. I want to give a quick shout out to our buddy Scott Rankin, who is the author of the book Nixia. He's a fan of the podcast.
Yes.
Listen to the show.
Yeah,
Scott. Scott was up by 63 points heading into Monday Night Football with Jamal Williams yet to play, and he played against Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. Up 63 with Jamal Williams, he lost his matchup. That's just fantasy heartbreak right there.
So why don't we get right into it then? Why don't we take that to recap our Monday Night Football game? Of course, the Packers get their first win of the season. 35-17 is the final. I would think through 2 weeks, the most predictable thing in the NFL was that Aaron Rodgers, coming off of a dud in week one, was going crazy in week two. We talked about this last week. Just put it in stone.
I said, you know, take the over. He was my number four quarterback heading of the week. He was on the love list.
What's ironic, though?
He went under. It was 300 passing yards, right?
He actually went under,
which just goes to show why you should only gamble for entertainment purposes only. But anyway, like, I think we all lost that red zone question, right? I think
we did, exactly.
And so,
not me. I'm not on the show. Don't worry about it.
No, that's a good point. You were not. No, we're not going to change
I don't think so.
Absolutely
I don't think
not.
So.
Listen.
It's the one reprieve that Matthew has for me in his daily life at Fantasy.
That's factually correct.
All right. Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers.
I'm just saying, I put Daniel Dapp on the Fantasy show was on ESPN television. We put Daniel Dapp on the show. The next year, we were on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
So you guys can
streaming master.
I'm just saying.
The dots there. So Aaron Rodgers has another wonderful game, 26.8 fantasy points. And probably a reminder that Aaron Rodgers may have one game all season, one. Where you regret starting him. It was week one. Better days were ahead. Last night was a great night. Feel confident in Aaron Rodgers going forward. I want to take a minute, though.
You know what's crazy is, like, he left points on the board. like a couple times he had Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who was my long shot on Fantasy Football Now, and like they took a couple shots to him, and if he connects on any one of those, his night looks even better.
Yeah, you'll feel okay though with 27 fantasy points for Rodgers. But right now, what I want to do, Matthew, is I want to grab this bottle of Body Armor water that I have in my hand, and I want to pour one out for all those out there that were facing Aaron Jones and they had a substantial lead going into last night. Or we can toast to you, the people who needed the Monday Night Miracle, and they got it in the form of Aaron Jones, who had not one, not two, not three, but four touchdowns, Matthew. He had six catches. He had 115 total yards. He played 42 snaps to A.J. Dillon's just 18. This is the fourth time Aaron Jones has had 40-plus fantasy points in his career. This is just his fifth season, and he wasn't even a starter for the beginning portion of his career. Shout out you, Aaron Jones, for winning a bunch of people a matchup last
week. I'm going to give a shout out here, too. So I asked everyone, like, send me your best Monday Night Miracles, and I got a ton of them. And one guy reached out to me on Instagram, at Matthew Berry TMR, at Jacob Bomos. Jacob, B-L-E-M-O-S. Anyway, he was down 130 to 31. He was down 99 points going into Monday Night Football. He had Aaron Rodgers.
That wins.
Aaron Jones.
Wow.
DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson.
Good for him. Nice.
He ended up winning by 3 points.
Good for him.
That's
gonna
be amazing.
So gratifying right there. Yeah, but most importantly.
Or 4 points, actually. I should take it back. So he won by 4 points, like down 99. And ended up putting up 103. That is a true Monday Night Miracle. He needed all four guys to hit. All four guys did. Swift didn't get it a lot until some junk time late.
Junk time counts.
So, yes, Monday Night Miracles, never give up, never say die. Aaron Jones, this is what happens, Field Yates, when you hashtag free Aaron Jones.
I will say I'm a little surprised, and I don't want to take anything away from the Packers' performance last night. I'm a little surprised that A.J. Dillon's role is so insignificant right now.
Yeah.
It's just something that we'll monitor going forward, but he did not play a lot for a guy that I do believe is uniquely talented. Let's keep ripping through these, Matthew, and Aaron Rodgers has a good night. No surprise, Devontae Adams does as well. 8 catches, 121 yards. He has not yet scored a touchdown. I'm here to tell you right now, he's scoring at least one this Sunday night against the 49ers. It's just going to happen. He does not go three straight games without a touchdown. Ticket to the bank. Devontae Adams is scoring on Sunday night. Big Bob Tonyan scores his first touchdown of the season. 3 catches, 52 yards. Here's the bottom line, though. Same thing we've been saying all year. Just like many tight ends, Bob Tonyan is touchdown dependent. Last night, he scored a touchdown.
Is he a sell high? So
no,
listen,
because
Let me tell you. 52 yards and a touchdown, great. 14.2 fantasy points. Finishes one of the best tight ends this week.
Okay.
3 targets. 3 catches on 3 targets. My point is that, like we talked about last year, hear me out. Last year we talked about, hey, there's no way this scoring pace can continue. There's no way that, you know, he's going to regress to the mean. Like, he's just not getting nearly enough volume to sustain the kind of touchdown production level he's getting. And yet here it is, once again, literally on 3 targets, he has another very productive fantasy game. Is he just one of these crazy efficient guys that Rodgers is always going to look for if Adams is covered in the end zone, in the red zone, or the gold zone, as that came up on the show on the broadcast last night? If when they get in close, is Tonyan just a guy that they're going to look for a lot? And maybe this is just who he is.
If you find someone that will take Bob Tonyan off your hands for a good price, after one game which catches 3 passes, I want to play in your league now going forward. If you can get something, go for it, Matthew. Because, as we know, there are like 4 tight ends that actually matter in the NFL for fantasy purposes. Just like every other year that we play fantasy football. 4 of them.
So, here's the thing. I agree with your statement in that I actually, yes, if someone will trade for Tonyan, I am willing to do that deal. But I think there are a lot of people out there that will. I do not think that everyone's sitting here thinking he's a fluke. Guy scored a ton of touchdowns last year and threw 2 games. Got, like, you know, the entire Packers offense was brutal in week 1. And week 2, when the Packers offense looked like the Packers, Tonyan has another solid fantasy game. Yes. I'll answer my own question. He's a sell high.
Okay. I think you find the Packers fan in your league and you try to put a package deal together with Robert Tonyan and another player to do an increase at a position that you need, and you wash your hands of it and everybody wins.
Potentially somebody with a mullet as well, because Tonyan's flirting with a mullet in that headshot we have up there on the screen. Yeah. Matthew mentioned that DeAndre Swift had 11.8 fantasy points. Yeah, you kind of are.
What's up, baby? How you doing?
You know, because like it's shorter on the top and longer on the bottom. Technically, yours is shorter on the bottom.
So sure,
technically shorter.
I have an old man mullet.
Yes.
Is that what this is? Old man mullet?
Grandpa mullet.
Grandpa mullet?
Is there like a name for a senior mullet? There's got to be a name out there. Something someone go like on Wikipedia that. And figure Listen, out what the term is for a grandpa mullet.
I will say this. Grandpa mullet sounds like a cartoon show on
cartoons. Sounds like a crappy band that you've never heard of, Matthew
Grandpa
Berry.
Mullet. Grandpa Mullet. Grandpa Mullet sounds like a crappy band you never heard of, or sounds like a like an obscure Adult Swim show.
Yeah, at 2 a.m. Yeah, 2 absolutely.
Either that or a puppet on the new fantasy, the new ESPN Plus fantasy show. I don't know. There's probably a few different ways that you could figure out
new.
A concept.
We've been there for 5 years.
The new
can
is,
you,
like,
can I tell
new
you
is
next,
in like the next episode.
I understand.
Of,
can I tell you something? Next Monday? Against all odds, next Monday will be the 300th episode of the Fantasy Show with
Matt. Only 298
Barry.
More than I expected. Let's keep things moving.
299.
Us as well, for the record.
Get one
for the record,
just
us as well.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the entire staff, and Daniel does a great job leading the way there on the Fantasy Show.
There's no question about that.
Jamal Williams, 6.7 fantasy points. Kind of a quieter night last night. He had 3 catches, 37 total yards. He did start the game again for Detroit, but pretty clear that DeAndre Swift is the running back that you want to have on your roster. TJ Hockenson was awesome last night. 8 catches on 9 targets for 66 yards and a touchdown. I mentioned how there's like 4 tight ends that matter right now in fantasy. TJ Hockenson, lock him in. As a matter of fact, I think until proven otherwise, he will be my weekly number 3 tight end
You're
in
welcome.
My rankings.
Ahead of Kittle.
Not even close. I think Kittle's like 8 for me this week.
I called that last, just for the record. I said that last week.
Right. Weird, Daniel, that you were able to make it back from Green Bay in time for the show today.
It's almost like I knew that TJ Hockenson was going to have a good game this week.
Going into the season, I had Hockenson as my tight end 4. Yeah. Like I had Kittle at 3. I'll own that, obviously. But I had Hockenson at 4, and people were like, whoa, ahead of Andrews, ahead of Kyle Pitts. I saw a lot of people that had Kyle Pitts at 4, and people were like, you're crazy. That offense is going to be brutal, and he's not going to get nearly the volume you think he is. And like
that first part is true. The offense is brutal, but he is going to get the volume because he's the only good pass catcher there right now.
Weirdly disagree. I actually think the offense is much more – I don't think it's a great offense by any stretch of the means. I think it's a functional offense.
Sure.
So I don't think it's the worst offense in the NFL. I'll put it that way.
No, I don't think so either. The Jets are staring saying...
Jaguars have been brutal for 2 games.
It's not super fantasy friendly, though, because it's not very explosive. It's a lot of running. It's a lot of short passes.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. But yes, it is
they're
a functional NFL
got.
Offense.
They are the equivalent of my haircut.
Yeah.
Doing the best they can with what little they have to work
wow,
with.
Wow, that was
tell
a
you
good,
what, though. I would love to see. I mean, I wouldn't love it for Lions fans. This won't happen for a long time. Or maybe it'll happen just in Detroit. TJ Hockenson in a friendlier fantasy offense would put up wild numbers. Like
massive
he could
numbers.
Be absolutely incredible
He's
in
a
different
beast.
Offense. He is a very, very good player. Last thing here, really quickly, Matthew. Quintus Cephas, buy or sell. He had 4 catches last night, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Back-to-back games with the score, but are you really investing something into Quintus Cephas?
I think he should make your waiver wire column. Did he?
Really? He did not. No.
7 targets in 2 straight games.
Yeah.
It's a team that's going to throw, right? We agree on that. We're going to throw. And we talked about the fact that none of these wide receivers have really emerged. Feels like he sort of had. Now, when Tyrell Williams comes back, does he continue to get that? But listen, let me put it this way. He'll be picked up in the War Room League this week.
Maybe.
He's the number one, at the moment, he's the number one wide receiver on an offense.
Right. I'm
not right? sure. I mean, like, he scored in back-to-back weeks. I think he's talented. Like, I mean, like, we joked about this in the preseason, right? But there was a training camp photo that got a lot of buzz, went viral on social media, which was very much like the Odell Beckham catch. Basically a high in the air, one-handed kind of impossible catch.
Oh, careful. I don't want you to hurt yourself, Matthew. You don't need to reenact it.
All right, Daniel, why don't you do it? Why don't you reenact it? Right, like exactly like that. Exactly.
Exactly like this. I was worried about your old man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Anyway, my point is, but the athletic skill it takes to make a catch like that tells you something.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm talking myself into him a little bit.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to give it one more week before I buy into it. One more week.
I'm just saying, he is not somebody that I would pick up in 10-team leagues, not when somebody like Emmanuel Sanders is out there in 80% of leagues. Like, right, there are better options out there in a standard 10 or 12-team league. But if you were in a deeper league, he'll be a popular pickup in Scott Fishbowl this week, for example. Like, if you were in a deeper league, I'm just saying, touchdowns in back-to-back weeks, 7 targets in back-to-back weeks. I do think that he has some legit talent, and I do think this is an offense that's going to need to throw a lot more often than they want to.
I will evaluate this for one more week before potentially having him on the week 4 waiver wire column. And with that, we wrap up Monday Night Football, and we turn to Stefania, the real star of the show, as we begin our injury updates. And Stefania, teams don't have to label a player as questionable, doubtful, or good to go until Friday, yet John Gruden did us all a favor and got way ahead of the curve on a couple of his offensive stars.
Yeah, he's already talking about Josh Jacobs as very questionable. Josh Jacobs obviously missed this game because of toe and ankle injuries. And I thought the way he leaned on the very questionable makes it sound like Josh Jacobs could be absent this week. Derek Carr, questionable on the side of maybe leaning towards he will play. If you saw, Derek Carr went down briefly because of his ankle. The team got very nervous. He was able to walk off, had it looked at, did have an MRI. This is the same ankle he had surgery on in 2016. But it sounds like as of this point, John Gruden expects that Derek Carr will take the field.
All right, so good news for Derek Carr, less good news for Josh Jacobs. Matthew, last week when we were talking about Kenyon Drake versus Peyton Barber,
I said, I was right.
Interesting. I think my exact analysis was
Kenyon Drake. You were more positive on him than I was. You thought he was gonna. You thought there was some
between 12 and 15 fantasy points, right? That's what I said.
I don't think so.
I will literally tell you it was 12 to 15 fantasy points. We can go back and check the tape if
we
must.
Yeah, check the tape. I demand to check the tape.
I said, hey, I expect between 12 and 15 fantasy points. Where did he end up with this past week? He ended up with 10.5 fantasy points. So I was wrong. Was that right? 10.5? That feels like less than what he ended up getting. But anyways.
It was bad.
Kenyon Drake?
Kenyon Drake was bad.
He was fine. 10.5 fantasy points.
For your starting running back?
Yeah, versus against one of the best defenses in the NFL.
I understand.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
12
fantasy points versus 10.5 fantasy points in back-to-back weeks for Kenyon
Drake.
That's
a win for me.
Yeah, so but anyways, the point is, I expect the same thing usage-wise this week, right? Kenyon Drake.
This I would agree with.
If you had to play
if
one
you're
of
starting
them,
a Raiders running back, you're starting Kenyon Drake over
and
Peyton
I think
Barber.
A better day
but,
is ahead
but again, they like Peyton Barber. I expect Peyton Barber, not Kenyon Drake, will get any short yardage goal line.
Drake got him last week.
I understand. Peyton Barber just got there.
Kenyon Drake led the NFL in goal-to-goal carries last year.
He did. And he was so good at it, Arizona said goodbye.
Okay, Peyton Barber was so good at it, and he's been so good at it that he's been cut like 9 times.
Peyton Barber is not good at football. I am with you, brother. I did not want him as part of the Washington football team. Right. I was happy when they released him because of the emergence of Jared Patterson. But just because I don't think Peyton Barber is all that good at football, and just because you don't think Peyton Barber is all that good at football, it doesn't matter what either of us think. It matters what John Gruden thinks.
Right. So the Raiders paid Kenyon Drake $13.5 million. They're paying Peyton Barber less than $1 million.
We're not really going to have this argument based on what the front office of the Raiders is doing, are we?
I mean, come on. You're changing. You're moving the goalpost here
every
time.
I'm not moving any goalpost.
The bottom line is, I'll take
Kenyon Drake.
The goalposts
are the same. I don't think Kenyon Drake is particularly good.
Wow.
There. I don't think he's like fantasy wise. I just don't think. I'm like, whatever.
Stefania, I'm more.
I'm just saying. I think that offensive line. We are talking from a fantasy point of view here, and right. I think Kenyon Drake was overpaid. I think that was a terrible contract by the Raiders. Mm. I think it was a poor use of resources by that organization. Mm. And I think that fantasy wise,
why do you hate the
Kenyon
Raiders?
Kenyon Drake.
Jeez.
Wow. I love the Raiders.
Taking the Raiders.
I love the Raiders. Raiders are 2-0.
Wow.
Love the Raiders.
What would you
Darren
do
Waller
2-0?
Is one of my favorite players in the NFL.
Wow.
Absolutely love the Raiders. Raiders. But I think in that particular case, I stand by my statement that that was a bad contract for Kenyon Drake, considering the other needs of that team. And okay. I will also say this, Field Yates, how long has Kenyon Drake been in the NFL? 5 years?
This would be, I believe, he's had a 4-year contract, five. This is his sixth season in the
his
NFL.
His sixth season in the NFL.
Yeah.
He has been fantasy relevant for, I want to say, 8 games of that 6-year career. 8 games. He had a half season with Arizona where he was magical. And honestly, if you go back and look at the games. Hang on.
Bless you, but your timing is
sorry
impeccable.
About that, guys.
I think
yeah,
that
that's
means
no,
that's a hard out.
I'm not getting off this bandwagon. I'm
so
sorry,
Henderson,
guys.
Okay, yeah, there's a few other things
it.
To talk
hang
about.
On. No, I've been attacked on this. I'm going to defend myself.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Listen, Kenyon Drake's been good for 8 games. And in those 8
More
games, go
that.
Back and look at the game to get, in terms of fantasy. This is a fantasy podcast. In terms of those 8 games, he was actually good for 4 of them. Go back and look at the numbers. He had 4 monster games during that 8-game stretch and 4 games that were like, eh, whatever. And my point is, yes, he was one of the league leaders in goal-to-go carries last year. That is absolutely correct for the Arizona Cardinals. And you know what? He failed to convert them at a spectacular rate.
Wow,
he was not good for fantasy last year. Anyone that drafted Kenyon Drake last year is sitting there at home nodding their head going, yes, he was a disappointment. I wish I did not use whatever draft pick I used on him. He was like a top 15 back last year for pretty much everyone but me. I was just like, why are we on a Kenyon Drake on such a small sample size? But people love them some Kenyon Drake, like you. I don't don't get it either. All I'm saying is the fact that it's a conversation between Kenyon Drake or Peyton Barber should tell you all you need to know about Kenyon Drake.
It's not
this
a conversation,
is an avoid.
Though.
This is an avoid against the – listen, he'll prove me wrong. Watch him go for 200 yards and three touchdowns. Right. But, like, it is an offensive line that has struggled. The way the Raiders are going to move the ball against Miami is short to intermediate passes. The argument for Kenyon Drake is passage game usage because the Dolphins' corners are so strong and they're not going to be able to run the ball, so it's going to be a lot of dump-offs to Kenyon Drake. That's your argument for Kenyon Drake, not that he got a bunch of goal-to-go carries.
Well, by the way,
not that he was good a year and a half ago for Arizona.
Wow, someone is really salty. Did you sleep last night? Did you sleep?
Yes. I did.
Wow. I was going to say, can you not sleep going forward here? Last thought is simply that, like, no one is sitting here saying Kenyon Drake is this must start, Matthew. The point is that
You love you some Kenyon Drake.
Okay. Anyways, let's move on. This is just not worth it because clearly your mind is a little bit, it's like a pretzel right now. Stefania, let's keep moving things forward here. Let's go to Los Angeles where Daryl Henderson.
If by a pretzel you mean it is soft and covered in salt, then yes, you're correct.
So Daryl Henderson is a little bit better than Kenyon Drake. A little bit, I think. What's his status with his ribs?
Yeah, I think this one is more questionable. Sean McVay seems to be always optimistic when it comes to injury situations, and yesterday informed the media that Daryl Henderson is dealing with a rib cartilage injury. You may recall yesterday I talked on the podcast about how rib cartilage injuries can be very, very painful, sometimes worse than a rib fracture in terms of how limiting they are. And Sean McVay said he's questionable. They're going to rest him during the week, evaluate him again on Friday. I think his quote was, if the pain subsides, then we will be confident to be able to utilize him. Either way, I would expect more Sony Michel and Jake Funk.
So Sony Michel, by the way, somebody that I mentioned yesterday, I might have snuck onto the waiver column. His roster percentage was actually like 70%, so I ended up not including him because if you're talking about a guy at 70%, you could add 15 players to the waiver wire column. But Matthew,
it's worth checking to see if he's available in your league.
Is Sony Michel good at football? I just want to be gentle with how I phrase my questions now going forward.
Yeah, I do. I mean, this is a guy that has had success in the NFL. Like, he was a big part of that Super Bowl run for the Patriots, you know, just had a monster postseason. Somebody was obviously very, very productive in college as well. So I think if Daryl Henderson is out, Sony Michel, listen, it's a tough matchup, obviously, with the Rams. With the Buccaneers. Sony Michel obviously needs to be rostered in all leagues, and he'd be, you know, top 25 for me this week.
I'll make you a board bet.
What's that?
Assuming Daryl Henderson and Josh Jacobs both don't play.
Yes, sir.
I say Kenyon Drake outscores Sony Michel.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll take that. You know what I mean? Like, listen, Kenyon Drake on the passing might be. No. But, like, they're playing the Buccaneers. They're playing the Buccaneers. But I will just say this. Like, sure, I'll take that bet. I don't care. Sony Michel, I say, assuming Josh Jacobs and Daryl Henderson are both out in week three, I say Sony Michel scores more fantasy points than Kenyon Drake.
And I say Kenyon Drake scores more fantasy points than Sony Michel. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
All right, we move forward here to the 49ers running back, Stefania, and there are a lot of them that are banged up.
Yes, virtually all of them. As we know, Raheem Mostert done for the year. Jamichael Hasty injured in this game. Kyle Shanahan saying yesterday he has a high ankle sprain and he will be out for a while. Assume that is a multi-week injury, so loss of James Hasty. Elijah Mitchell remains day-to-day with a shoulder injury. Trey Sermon is in the concussion protocol. We know they had a litany of running backs in for workouts this morning. Tom Pelissero reporting and our Ben Baby confirming that the 49ers have signed Jacques Patrick off the Bengals practice squad, running back who's a former XFL player out of Florida State. 156 yards and a touchdown on 31 rushing attempts in the Bengals preseason. Jacques Patrick, your new 49ers running back.
Wow. And of course, as Stefania mentioned, all those injuries, the workouts, this picture may not be complete. There may be more to figure out by the end of the week. The good news is it sounds like Elijah Mitchell has a chance to play on Sunday, and if he does, once again, my analysis will be the same. Like, he has the best chance to be the lead back in a Kyle Shanahan offense, will probably crack the top 25 or so running backs. Moving forward here, what you're pointing towards her, Daniel.
No, yeah, I'm just saying, Stefania, we gotta. Okay. I want to do a grouping of these next couple of guys, just because we're a little bit late on time.
Let's begin with the Cleveland Browns, then Stefania, you can take it from there.
Yeah, Jarvis Landry with an MCL sprain confirmed, he will be out. They're calling him week to week. We don't know yet if he's going on IR, but usually this is a multi-week injury. Baker Mayfield in pain, sore, but I expect him to play this week. Nico Collins down at the Texans, out 3 to 4 weeks, is the projection with a knee injury. So he will be gone for them. Zach Ertz was put on the COVID-19, the reserve COVID-19 list on Monday. So it appears that Zach Ertz could be out for Monday Night Football, but we don't know that for sure yet. Okay. Just stay tuned. Carson Wentz, we talked about his ankle getting rolled on and being out at the end of the game on Sunday. Turns out he has sprained ankles on both sides. Apparently, he sprained his left ankle earlier in the game, stayed in play, then ended up with a more significant injury on the right side that didn't allow him to come back in. I would say he's questionable as of now. And then Tua Tagovailoa with a rib injury. No further injury, apparently, with the additional imaging that they did. He remains a big question mark. Brian Flores saying on Monday that he was still in a lot of pain. They talked about options of the flak jacket, etc. But it really depends on, will he be able to perform at the quarterback position? Obviously, given that the guy's been through a dislocated hip and a high ankle injury, Brian Flores said there's no question about his toughness. This is really about whether he can do what he needs to do at the quarterback position, whether they have him available this week.
Jacoby Brissett will be the next man up. Perhaps a Jacoby Brissett-Nathan Peterman matchup in Vegas on Sunday. We'll come back and talk about some of the things that we didn't get to on yesterday's show in a minute. But first, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I know it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Hey, football fans, I want to tell you about NFL SundayTicket.tv. It's like having front row seats to every live out-of-market game every Sunday afternoon. No matter where you live, you can get stuff streamed right to your favorite device. And this season, that means 18 weeks of glory and more games than ever before. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and order today. Use promo code FFF2021 at checkout to save 15%. That's FFF2021 at checkout to save 15%. Select international games excluded. Eligibility restrictions apply. Compatible device required. Data charges may apply. Field, if you don't mind, really quickly. I know we're going to move on to the next thing, but I just want to say one thing real fast.
Okay.
Today, September 21st. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Is the
21st night, September.
September 21st is the birthday of one Rosie Shimada, who came into my life 2 years ago. And I just wanted to say, Rosie, I love you so much. You are absolutely the best partner that I've ever had in my entire life. You are the very air that I breathe. You are the beat of my heart. I love you so much. Happy birthday to you. Matthew comes in a very close second, as you know, to that. But I just wanted to say I love you, babe. Happy birthday.
That was so sweet.
Oh, very so sweet. Happy birthday, Rosie.
Very, very sweet. Happy birthday, Rosie. Everything that Daniel said goes ditto for me.
Wow.
Just, you know. Wow.
I was going to say, I want to hire Daniel to be like a personal... like a personal like delivery note. Like if I could just hire you to say nice things to someone on my behalf, that would be great. You're so emotional and sentimental. It is really, truly
beautiful.
Lovely. Happy birthday, Rosie. Yeah. We all love you here at the 06010. Let's get to some of the things from Sunday.
Hang on. How does Rosie feel about Kenyon Drake?
She's out on Kenyon Drake, man.
I'm on board. Happy birthday, Rosie. There you go.
Let's talk about Ryan Tannehill here for a second. Ryan Tannehill has one touchdown pass so far this season in 75 attempts. However, Matthew...
He has two. I mean, the ref screwed him on one, but yes.
Correct. He has two, but he has one that has counted so far, right?
Yes, sir.
Last year, he had 33 touchdown passes on, I believe, 478 passing attempts. He has been the most efficient quarterback in football for the past 2 years.
Yes.
He has been one of the least efficient quarterbacks in terms of touchdown passes this year. And better days are, I'm convinced this one's a better days ahead thing. People are starting to get nervous about Ryan Tannehill. I'm starting to feel like better days are definitely ahead for Ryan Tannehill. I'll point specifically to the second half against the Seahawks, a defense that looked pretty good in week one and looked pretty good for the first half. The Titans got to go in. They found their mojo. You have to pound the rock with Derrick Henry. I think a big day is ahead for Carson Wentz, for Ryan Tannehill, who plays the Colts, potentially without Carson Wentz on Sunday. I know people are frustrated. I understand if you're looking to the waiver wire, if you've been rolling with Ryan Tannehill, I think better days are ahead here for Tanny.
I do too. I think he's been too good for too long. I mean, it wasn't just last year, but it's basically ever since he took over from Marcus Mariota. And yeah. I get it, right? No Arthur Smith there. They have a new offensive coordinator, but it's basically the same playbook. They're trying to work Julio Jones in. They've had two tough matchups. You know, playing at Seattle, not an easy place to play. And yet he still put up over 400 yards. Derrick Henry went nuts. Like, that's going to happen. There's going to be those three touchdown crazy Derrick Henry type games. But I agree with you. I am willing to bet on Ryan Tannehill than against him. I'm staying the course, and if he's available for cheap, I don't mind a flyer.
And I feel the exact same way about A.J. Brown, by the way, his top wide receiver who had a bad drop on Sunday. He's been a little bit less consistent so far this year. The good news is he's still A.J. Brown. He's still an otherworldly talent. The Titans are going to have favorable looks. He does have three end zone targets already this year. He had six in the entire 2020 season, Matthew. It stinks. This is one where we have to say the time-tested phrase, ride the wave here with A.J. Brown. Where it gets more interesting to me is for a player in Kansas City and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde Edwards-Helaire on Sunday night had 13 carries for 46 yards, and he had zero targets. Not a one, Matthew. Not a single target for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was the first player in SEC history with 1,000-plus rushing yards and 50-plus catches in a single season. That was the allure of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is that he could go to Kansas City and be the top running back for a team and maybe catch 75 passes in a season. He had a fumble on Sunday night. He had 2.6 fantasy points. At what point do we keep jamming him into lineups? Or do we stop jamming into lineups, I guess is the question.
Man, oh man, it's so tough to know what to do with him. Because you take him out of the equation. Literally just say, starting running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, starting running back for Andy Reid, should be fantasy relevant. I mean, like, you think about Charcandrick West. You think about, I'm trying to think of some of the other, like, obscure guys, that like Spencer Ware.
Yeah.
I mean, Spencer
lesser
Ware.
Talents have had much,
much lesser
better
talents.
Days, yeah.
Much lesser talents. Charcandrick West he went to Abilene Christian. I don't know where Spencer Ware went to college.
Went to LSU.
Okay, there you go. All right, so he went to LSU, but so did Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
He did, yeah.
I mean, like, so Clyde Edwards-Helaire came in with all sorts of accolades, and I don't know if it's him or it's just the offense is so good that they don't need him or whatever, but, like, that's a bad fumble. He has not been productive on the field. They've been able to win without him, not because of him, and just from a confidence level in terms of the coaching staff, I don't know about the player, but, like, he had one job. I mean, so if for people who are watching at home, Field, if you want to, like...
Someone tweeted yesterday, Carl Jr., I've been diagnosed with CEH. It's where I have the RB1, the top scoring offense in the NFL, but don't get any points. Side effects include losing my bleep.
Yeah, exactly. So... And I put this on my Instagram as well.
Can I ask this then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's not a drop. Can't drop him because it's not like he's ceding carries or snaps in a significant way to other Chiefs running backs. Darrell Williams did score a touchdown on Sunday night, but that was a short yardage situation. That's not new, right? We know CEH is not getting the goal line work. He's not a drop yet, though. But have we already gotten to the point, is he Brandon Ayuk, where you're not playing him until he earns his way back into your lineup?
I think that's a great call. Actually, I actually think Brandon Ayuk is a great call. Yes, the upside is he's the starting running back for one of the best offenses in football. I think you can't drop him. The two things I would say is that I agree with you. I'm not starting him until we see at least something out of him. What is he like?
I know it's so hard though. Is like you go to running backs and you're like, I'm not starting him, and then you're like, oh my god, I'm starting. I don't know, like. Samaje Perine this week over him.
Yeah, I mean,
that's obviously exaggerating,
they're playing the Chargers this week. They just got run all over by both Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. And by the way, Gibson had a good game against them in week one.
Let me give you like two or three names.
But I will say this. I also think, again, deeper league, Darrell Williams is a sneaky pickup. Mm. Like, they like Darrell Williams.
I know, but I do feel like as long as CEH is healthy, they're going to continue to give him the bulk of the snaps. It's just that the meaningful snaps near the goal line are gone.
Yep.
The passing game usage is not significant.
Correct.
And he doesn't have explosive plays. He has no runs of 10-plus yards this year. The graphic just flashed. His last run of 20-plus yards was before Halloween last year.
Yeah.
Like
almost a year ago.
Basically, the ingredients that we throw into the mix to create an RB1 or even an RB2 are largely lacking with CEH right now. Here are a couple names that I'm just thinking about off the top of my head. Like somebody, yeah,
this
is an example.
This would be a good place for a name game, Daniel.
Yeah, I understand that.
But here's an example of somebody. Yeah. James White's got 12 catches so far this season. If you had James White and CEH for your final running back spot, who are you playing this weekend?
I'm probably still going CEH and hating myself for it. But I get it.
How about Tony Pollard or CEH this weekend?
Tony Pollard.
How about Jamal Williams or CEH for the rest of the, for this weekend?
Jamal Williams, even though I know Jamal Williams didn't do much last night.
Yeah. If you had either Bucks running back or
CEH.
Okay. That just some perspective there, right? That's kind of
that's where we're at.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I mean, like, it's a far
Latavius
drop.
Murray or CEH.
Still CEH.
Tyson Williams. How about that?
Baltimore plays who?
They play Detroit.
Detroit. Yeah. Tyson Williams.
I might actually
play Latavius Murray over CEH because they're playing Detroit.
I do.
Yeah, Latavius Murray probably gets in the end zone this weekend. Yeah.
Anyways, it's a tough conversation. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a good player. I think he has some things he can do well. I just think that this is a square peg trying to be jammed into a round hole for fantasy purposes that just doesn't exist right now. And we're over a year into it.
Well, it's the old joke. I brought this up a few times. Like, you know, you think back to,
give me
the
some
movie?
Hints. Context
no,
clues,
no,
Matthew.
No, no, no. What's the movie with Lindsay Lohan? The
Two
Mean
words.
Girls. Mean Girls.
Parent Trap.
It's Mean Girls. It's like, you know, stop trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah,
fetch is not going to happen. Stop trying to make fetch happen. And so we've used that meme before, and I've seen other people take that as well. But right, yeah, stop trying to make CEH happen. It's not going to happen. And so it's become popular in fantasy football over the last couple of years, and it feels like one of those. It feels like, you know, CEH is a fetch.
Yes.
Right?
He could be a fetch. Yeah.
Is a fetch. Stop trying to make fetch happen.
That's it.
I will say that. Also, by the way, shout out to the @MBFantasyLife Twitter handle for unearthing that great tweet about CEH.
Well done by Fantasy Life. Last one here, Matthew, is Allen Robinson. Mike and I had a conversation about him on the podcast last week. Mike loved the matchup, which was smart process there, but the results were not great. He scored early, but he had just 2 catches for 24 yards and a touchdown. How much of this do you think is just bad luck the first 2 weeks? Do you think it's the fact that their quarterbacks were rotating in and out this past week? What's going on with Allen Robinson, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, I guess I'm not really worried about Allen Robinson. We agree on a couple of things. One of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL, just pure talent, right? Yep. One of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL has been fantasy productive throughout his career.
Yep.
Has been quarterback proof throughout his career. He's had 2 bad games. I get it. They've been sort of weird. Like, Chicago had such a good defensive game last week. They didn't really need to throw that much. My expectation is especially if Justin Fields starts, when you're a rookie quarterback, what are you doing? You're looking for the big dog. Yeah, I mean, like, patience on Allen Robinson. I'm willing to bet on the talent, and I'm not worried about the quarterback again, because this is a guy that's been productive with Blake Bortles, with Nick Foles, with Mitch Trubisky. Like, there's been a litany of
questionable. Dude, you just named an MVP. MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, and Blake Bortles, king of garbage time. Those are 3 good quarterbacks right there.
There you go. This is the man that loves Kenyon Drake.
Wow. I got a quick question.
Yeah.
From that standpoint, we were talking about guys with slow starts, right? We mentioned A.J. Brown earlier. Yeah. We just mentioned Allen Robinson. Are either of these guys...
And my fantasy team.
And your fantasy team.
In the War Room League, yeah.
Are either of these guys that right now, after week 2...
Buy low.
That you're trying to maybe put in an offer, because season long, we know that these guys are going to be great. This is a crazy example, but like, Tyler Lockett has been unreal. Efficiency is off the charts. Maybe that's a little too high, but like, would you trade a Tyler Lockett for an AJ Brown at this point?
No, you wouldn't trade it. Tyler Lockett, because they were close enough in the preseason ranks, and like, there's a large enough sample size. Tyler Lockett is a certified baller. The guy made a...
But you've got to find somebody that's done something these first 2 weeks that they'll want to take as a part of giving up AJ Brown.
Here's one for you, right?
Mike Evans?
I was thinking like, if you were looking to acquire AJ Brown and I offered you Jamar Chase, would you do it?
You offered me Jamar Chase for AJ Brown. Oh, sorry. You offered me AJ Brown for Jamar Chase. I would do that.
That's an example, Daniel. I think it's more
relevant. Like, for example, I have Jamar Chase on my war room team.
Yep.
My war room team, 16 team league, my top 3 receivers are Robert Woods, Robbie Anderson, and Jamar Chase. I like those guys in a 16-team league.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've I have Joe Mixon and Damian Harris. I have Travis Kelce. Like, it's a good team.
It's
for
only
a 16-team league.
All I'm saying is it's only 2 weeks, and these guys are still superstars. Yes. We love them. So,
but,
like, I'm just saying.
The but yes, but I will offer up Ja'Marr Chase for those guys. If anyone in the War Room League is listening and has A.J. Brown or Allen Robinson,
sure no one in the War Room League listens to this podcast.
I have Allen Robinson.
You want to do that deal? Star Fania Bell?
A.J. Brown for Allen Robinson?
No, Ja'Marr Chase.
He wants to offload Ja'Marr Chase for Allen Robinson.
I don't want to offload him. I'm a believer in Ja'Marr Chase.
He believes in Ja'Marr Chase and would like to trade him to you.
You're a believer in A.J. Brown too, right?
I'm a believer in A.J. Brown.
Top 10 receiver?
Yes.
Lock it in?
Yeah.
Love it. Good, I agree.
I'll consider it. Okay. To be continued.
Okay. We'll have that conversation further. We're going to come back and have...
We'll talk about some more things when we come back.
Free agent fines. Let's do that after, and then we'll rip through the rest of maybe some leftover notes about rookies from week one. But first, no matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its network of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You know, it's been a great start to the NFL season, and it only gets better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. So get in on the action now. It's really simple. You just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now and use code FFF. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter the code FFF to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code FFF only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And Field, we are now going to say goodbye to the next team in the Fantasy Focus Survivor League with week 2 in the books. Daniel Dope has unfortunately failed to move on to the next week after starting a lineup that included Dak Prescott scoring less than 10 points.
Ouch.
Jonathan Taylor scoring less than 7 points.
Couldn't get in the end zone.
Amari Cooper less than 5.5 points.
That one hurts.
Melvin Gordon less than 10 points. Devontae Smith 3.6. But you know what? If only this person had started Quintez Cephas, which is sitting on their bench, he would have been moving on to week 3. But no, couldn't play Quintez Cephas.
Anybody else notice that you said 5 players that didn't score 10 fantasy points? You knew who did last week, right?
Who?
Kenyon Drake had over 10 fantasy points. Wow. You could have had any of those guys, right?
Boom. Yeah.
I'm going to say really quickly is it's been a tough week. Wow. That's messed up. Make sure you watch the video for this little graphic here.
Week one to week two.
I love the week one to week two.
It's crazy how TJ Hawkinson has just joined our podcast.
It's incredible. If you want to see more TJ Hawkinson and you want to hear more about free agent fines, we're going to talk about that here in a second. Right.
This is Hunger Games. It's like a tribute.
This is Hunger Games.
It's a tribute to Daniel Dopp, Folder Soldier. What is that?
The tribute.
Seriously, the taps music and the background.
So, I mean, 18-team league now down to 16 as Daniel Dopp joins the ranks.
The second highest scoring team last week. I know. Lowest scoring team this week.
That's fantasy football. That's these survivor type leagues that is so fun. You know, you sweat them out. But I think you can take solace in the fact, Daniel Dopp, that at least you beat Ed Eck.
That's true.
That's true. He beat Ed Eck.
Ed Eck, coordinating producer of the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, a new episode of the fantasy show.
Fantasy expert Ed Eck, by
the way. Famously not an expert.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just glad you know, you took one for the team because my team didn't perform that well either.
Yeah. Stefania had to eke one out there. But yeah, noted fantasy expert Ed Eck. And noted, by noted, I mean he tells you that he's a fantasy expert.
Yes, he does. But, yes, he does.
The scoreboard says differently. Anyway, yes, new episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus is out now. Our week three recap, our week two recap, and our week three waiver wire free agent show is out. It's a really good show. It's really fun. It's part of ESPN Plus, and you can get a full year subscription to ESPN Plus along with five other great sites that will help you out with DFS lineup optimizers, in-season trade management, all sorts of things that you need to win your league at rotopass.com. Promo code 06010 gets you 10% off.
Another thing really quickly we do at the end of our Friday shows every week, we take questions only from ESPN Plus viewers on Twitter. So make sure that you send us in those questions. If you watch the show, we always try to get to a bunch of them.
Yeah,
so that we
and
can
if you watch the
questions.
Show, we will tell you what the hashtag is that you can use, the secret hashtag. So subscribe to ESPN Plus and do it through rotopass.com if you're asking me.
Why not?
But, either way, check out a new episode of The Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. And you can also check out Field's free agent finds column, which features some of the following names.
Let's begin at quarterback, Matthew. And there are really three names of note here this week. Derek Carr, who has been great the first two games for the Las Vegas Raiders. He was 20 at 24.2 fantasy points in week two. He was quarterback 7 on the week. He is dealing with that ankle issue that Stefania brought up at the beginning of the show. I do believe he has a tough matchup this week in the Miami Dolphins. But if you look, I mean, just the numbers sort of tell you the story here with Derek Carr. He has been rock solid. If you're looking for somebody to potentially replace, as we mentioned earlier on in the show, someone like Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you went with the Matt Ryan as you waited a long time in your draft, I think Derek Carr is a name to consider adding. As I said yesterday, it's still going to be hard for me to find room for him in anything smaller than a 12-team league. And even a 12-team league is a close call for me. But still, he's been so good, he deserves to be mentioned. Justin Fields should be mentioned
as well. And as you heard earlier in the show, expected to play.
Yes, expected to play. Yeah. Yep. We'll see whether Justin Fields is a starter for the Chicago Bears this week. Sounds like Andy Dalton still has at least a chance. Matt Nagy also made it very clear yesterday. If Andy Dalton is healthy, he's our starter. So Justin Fields would probably have to, A, be the starter this week. I'm going to come to Stefania in 1 second. And B, be the starter and play really well to keep that job. Like, he can't go out there and have like 163 yards passing on 58% completion percentage and 2 turnovers and expect to stick around, right? Like, there are other quarterbacks. Zach Wilson's not going anywhere. Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, they're not going anywhere right now for their respective teams, no matter how they play. Justin Fields needs to get the job and play well. But Stefania, what do you want to add to that one?
Just that there was further clarity on the injury situation for Andy Dalton. All we knew yesterday was that it was presumed to not be his ACL. That was confirmed. They're calling it a bone bruise. Before you think of that as being a nothing injury, these are things that can be painful and problematic for a while. Remember the year that Aaron Rodgers had a bone bruise? It really bothered him throughout the course of the season. So a lot depends on where it is, how much it impacts his mobility. I'm not sure Andy Dalton can be back out there this week and be effective. It's going to be really tough to move around, but just know that that's what he's going to be working through if he is to come back.
Certainly Bears fans would love to see Justin Fields, as they have been aching and clamoring for him for basically 4.5 months since they originally drafted him out of Ohio State.
And by the way, our new teammate here, Alex Smith, on ESPN Daily yesterday was talking about that Justin Fields situation, said, remember, when somebody comes in, he goes, don't put a lot of stock in what happened in week two because you're not getting any reps with the starters. So if he is getting more reps this week in advance, it shapes differently.
One more quarterback add to note would be Daniel Jones, who has played well in two games so far this season, up over 21 fantasy points.
I was a year
points.
Too early.
You were a year too early. Matthew was just too far ahead of the curve because he's so smart.
I have to stop being so smart. You know what? My job is to see into the future, and sometimes I'm just so good at it, I just see way into the future as opposed to, you know, like, listen, Cordero Patterson, I saw 8 years into the future, right? Daniel Jones, I saw a year into the future. I need to start harnessing my power and rein it back a little bit. So I'm only seeing like a couple of weeks into the future.
Thankfully, curse, right?
Longevity is on your side here, Matthew, which is surprising for all of us to think that you've just been in the game long enough. But eventually some of your calls are now coming right.
That's
years,
right.
It's like
years
when you
down
have
the
fashion
road.
And something is in that it goes out and it comes back in again later.
Bell-bottoms. Like that. Matthew's like the bell bottoms of fantasy football. A running back add of note, Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard available in over 60%.
Anyway, I'm
of
sorry,
leagues.
I cut off your Daniel Jones thing. Do you want anything more? I was trying to make a bit, but
now you just cut off Tony Pollard.
First time you ever cut me off, so I'm not sure what to do here.
I know. No, but I'm just for the video people. Like, they're gonna want something on Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, in back-to-back games, has over 21 fantasy points for the Giants. Importantly, this past week, he got 6 designed runs. He's a very good athlete, that much we know. And when he gets those designed runs, it only raises the floor for him in fantasy. Threw the ball effectively against what we thought was a good Washington defense. They play the Falcons on Sunday. I could see Daniel Jones being like a top 14 or so consideration at quarterback, maybe depending on your view of his consistency. Now let's move forward to Tony Pollard, the backup running back for the Dallas Cowboys, but a very talented guy at that. The theme this week on the waiver wire was to add and stash. I don't believe Tony Pollard will make my top 30 for running back ranks this week. I'm not sure he'll make my top 35 either, but really talented guy, and if something happened to Zeke Elliott, this is the most important, or maybe the most important, insurance running back in the NFL. A guy that, if something happened to Zeke, he'd probably be a top 8 to 10 consideration at the position. Cordarrelle Patterson, Matthew was just talking about him. He's only 8 years too far ahead. A little skeptical of this one, to be honest with you. So few touches last week, just 11 in total. Mike Davis still the guy in that backfield. I think Mike Davis is a better running back. That's not going that far out on a limb. But he had 2 touchdowns this past week. Matthew, pretty uniquely talented guy. I think in a deep league, it's fine to add Cordarrelle Patterson. But here's maybe my favorite add and stash of the week. It's Rondell Moore. And the reason why this is my favorite add and stash is that it's not like Rondell Moore's ability to produce in fantasy is dependent upon someone else not being available, like I think someone like Tony Pollard's is. Zeke is going to put a cap on what Tony Pollard's value is. Rondell Moore had 24.4 fantasy points last week. He had a 73-yard touchdown on what looked like a busted coverage from the Vikings. Yep. But you saw what we already know. He is so fast. He's so fun. And he is playing with a quarterback that through 2 weeks in the NFL season has been, if not the best, one of the 3 best up to this point. Kyler Murray, who, by the way, was the highest scoring fantasy quarterback last year, through the first 16 weeks of the season, he's a certified superstar fantasy quarterback. Rondell Moore should be the number 2 pass catcher in Arizona. If he becomes that consistently, he could have fantasy value.
No question there, Field. I mean, you know, look, like if I'm betting on a non-DeAndre Hopkins pass catcher in Arizona, I think Moore is the guy, not AJ Green. I know Christian Kirk had the 2 touchdowns in week 1. Give me Rondell Moore for the non-Hopkins wide receiver. I have a question for you, though.
Sure.
Because I don't know the answer to this, but I think the answer might be, yeah, possibly. If we were redrafting today, who's the number 1 quarterback in fantasy?
Yeah, possibly.
Is it Kyler Murray? Is it still Mahomes? I think it's
a conversation.
Yeah, here's the reason why, is that the heart of Kyler Murray's schedule in that division, 4 games against the 49ers and the Rams that I think are really good,
sure,
right?
Sure. Like,
I do think that the Broncos are a very capable defense, and they have had some decent games against Patrick Mahomes in the past. But we've also seen that like no quarterback sort of erases defensive matchups better than Mahomes.
This is true. Although I will tell you, Kyler Murray does stuff where you're just like, wait, what? Wait, what? You know what I mean? Like, and just like, I almost feel like it's
a great conversation. You could certainly put him right there in that number 1 mix. You could put Brady in that mix too, which is ridiculous because Brady might have 2 rushing yards the entire season.
Brady's just so ridiculous.
Let me wrap one up.
Anyway,
here.
I'm just, you know, like Kyler's special, man.
He also, it's great because they're both like what, 6 foot, give or take, Field?
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted that out after like the first week. Just like, you know what? It doesn't come up anymore. Kyler's height.
Yeah.
I just remember everyone was wringing their hands over Kyler's height. And I remember saying in the pre-draft props, you're like, guys, like some guys are just special. Like he's one
ridiculous.
Of them. Like, what Rondell are you guys
Moore's
doing?
5'7", and he's like lightning.
He is. Yeah, I mean.
So impressive. Both of them are incredibly impressive. Fun to watch. Rondell Moore is available in over 80% of leagues. We don't often talk about defenses, but I do think there's a case for the Panthers as the top ad this week that you might actually be able to use.
Sure.
Truly. Because the Panthers play the Texans on Thursday night. Earlier, like 15 minutes ago, we got word officially from David Culley, the Texans head coach, that Davis Mills would start a quarterback for them on Thursday night against the Panthers. The Panthers, here's a fun fact for you.
Okay.
How many defenses have scored 10 or more fantasy points?
This is a question.
In both weeks this season?
This isn't a fact.
Whatever. It's a question. It's a question.
It's a trivia question. It's not a fun fact.
No big deal. It's a trivia question.
How many defenses? I am going to say 3, and I'm going to say the Panthers are one of them.
Okay, Daniel?
I'm going to say 7.
Okay, Stefania.
What? I'm sorry. I'm doing work.
Oh, my gosh, Matthew.
Princeton. The answer is one. There is just one that has scored 10 or more fantasy points in each of the first 2 weeks of the season. It is the Carolina Panthers.
So wow. Called that
what
right.
Was the They've question? Been good.
The question was, how many defenses have scored at least 10 fantasy
there
points?
There wasn't a question. It was a fun fact, Stefan.
It was a fun fact.
Yeah, well.
It wasn't that fun.
It was a trivia question.
It is a fact. It wasn't that fun.
I want to learn something.
You've long considered the person that most people turn to as the barometer of fun. Yeah, you. You, Matthew Berry, yes. Fun.
I think that's correct.
I think I am. Yeah, Matthew thinks
think
he is fun.
Is.
Yeah.
I definitely think I'm fun. Yeah.
Compared
to you, Motley Crue, yes. I'm absolutely the most fun.
Wow.
Thirsty Kyle, put up a poll.
Yeah.
Who do you want to party with of the four of us? Like, who's the most fun? Yeah. Daniel, you may win this one.
Right. Yeah.
But I'll definitely finish second. I'll definitely finish ahead of Field and Stefania.
Wow, that's interesting. Wow, you think so, huh?
Really?
Because I am fun.
100% winning. Yeah.
Anyone?
1,000% fun. You're going to, hey.
You know, here's the difference.
Let's go bar crawling at 1 o'clock in the morning and Field shows up in a three-piece suit. What are you talking about?
Ask Beth.
It's Stefania over there. He's going to be drinking wine at 6 o'clock. I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? I'm the fun one.
You'll be waking up for your third time of the night to go to the bathroom.
You know what? It's
6 o'clock.
If your wife weighs in, we know.
Wow. Field Yates from the top rope.
That was me. That was maybe just a little over the line. Just a little bit.
Yeah. The truth hurts. That's what it is.
Listen, it is what it is.
It's
fine.
Not going to
be getting up. Listen, I'm a night owl. Like, I am probably peeing a lot, but no, I'll be awake. I'll be awake for it. Here's what I'm going to say, though.
God,
I'm glad you're
going to
be awake for it.
I know.
I'm sure Beth is excited about that, too.
Field was saying I'd probably, at that time, I'd be waking up. No, I'd be at the bar. I demand this poll.
Your depends.
Listen, you're
it depends. Stop it. Come on now. Stop. All right.
We're going to get a poll, Matthew Berry.
I want a poll.
Okay.
Who's the most fun? Who's the most fun of the...
All I know is if your wife's voting, I know which one she's picking, and it ain't you.
Are you? Wow. Wow, I'm not going to touch that one. I'm just going to move on very, very quickly here and say...
It's time for everything.
Yeah. Wow. Stefania joining in. Stefania woke up from what other work she was doing.
I was just going to say,
you know...
Wasn't paying attention 5 minutes ago.
Well. Stefania busy over there making like... you know, car appointments or whatever. I don't know what she's doing over there. She's like, it's fine. We only ask you to pay attention for an hour a week, a day. What are you going to do?
I broke news on the show already today. What have you done?
I shared
the 49ers signing of a running back.
Can I ask? I was going to break that news too. I saw it earlier.
Go ahead.
No big deal.
Knock yourself out.
I want to ask you a question, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford, Matthew Berry. Sorry, I was a dream world. With Will Fuller coming back to the team this week.
Yes.
Jalen Waddle has been a guy that I've been playing in the flex a fair amount without him being there, but that Dolphins offense looks pretty tough. I'm just curious when you look at it. I love Jalen Waddle. A couple rookies here that we actually like. We only got a few minutes left in the show, so I just wanted to bring it up. Are you starting any Dolphins wide receiver this week if you can help it? Do you think that there's... Okay.
Absolutely not, especially because, by the way, it looks like it's more likely than not that Jacoby Brissett's going to start.
And yeah.
Like, you know... So, no, if I had to start one, I think I would start Waddle just because I think he's got the best chance at breaking a long one for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will Fuller first week back with the team. No, I think there are better bets than the Dolphins this week offensively.
Okay. That's fair.
In fact, I think ideally you're not starting any Dolphin, not even Gaskin. Like, you know, it's just not an offense that looks particularly good right now.
Yeah. Gaskin I have some hope for, though, only because the rushing efficiency has been bad, but there's been enough passing game volume that I think things will look up for Gaskin in the future.
Yes.
The offensive line is super concerning, though. Again, it's been just abysmal through two games thus far this regular season. Let's put a close on it, Daniel, because
we
got through a lot of stuff, and tomorrow we're coming back, and here's what we're going to do tomorrow is we're going to recap rankings. We're going to talk about some news as well, sort of turn the page officially into week 3. But in the meantime, as Matthew mentioned, there is a new episode of The Fantasy Show available on ESPN Plus. The waiver wire column is out. It is up, as I mentioned. Not exactly a sterling week for the waiver wire, but still there are some names that could help your roster at some point further down the line.
And week 2 ranks are up, I believe.
Week three. Sorry, the ranks will be up soon. Yeah, week 2 ranks also are available.
Go back. back and look. See how he did?
Go vote the poll, too.
Yeah, go vote. Definitely vote. Go.
Follow this at Fantasy, a fun show,
follow
guys.
Follow at Fantasy Focus on Twitter and vote in the poll. And vote for me. Vote with your heart. Vote with your conscience.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't vote with
me. Vote then, Just vote who you think would actually be the most fun to party with. And with that, we say goodbye for Matthew and Stefania and Daniel. I am Field. We're back tomorrow. Same time, same place. We'll talk to you then.
Peace out. Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel? It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp. Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel? He's Daniel Dopp. Who's that? Who's that squirrel? He's Daniel Dopp. The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job. Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football. And what sets them apart? The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels. All of the greats were hired here. What a throw by Mahomes! See who gets the job. Are you ready? The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.